Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. Thanks so much for joining us. In 2017, we're celebrating 25 years of helping people win. Today, we have a great word from Pastor Bill Shear. If this ministry has changed your life, would you let us know? Send us an email at story@gutschurch.com.
God's favor is invaluable in our lives. Write that down. God's favor is invaluable. Man, we think about all the stuff we've got to do and all the deficit we've got to make up and all that. Let me just tell you, for about 30 minutes, why don't you just think about God's favor that's upon your lives, that you receive this word as God's favor today. You receive this message with, listen, you receive this word with gladness because it positions you in life, listen, ahead of everything. This is how you get out in front right here. You know, it's not that God isn't speaking in your life. It's the condition of your heart. It's all how you receive it. If there's weeds that pop up, I pulled a few weeds this morning out of my, I've got a little, it's not a flower bed because there's no flowers in it, but I planted a magnolia tree that Sandy loves now. It's a little gem. If you need some, I might have to write a blog or like a how-to video on how to do it because that sucker's blooming and flourishing right now. It's amazing. But there's some weeds that popped up. You know what? Those scoundrel weeds aren't gonna be in my magnolia bed. No, not today. Not when I'm walking by. You know what I did? I plucked them. I flicked them out in the yard. You know what's going to happen? I'm going to go back after church. They're going to be all dried up, and they're going to be dying. Guess what's going to happen in the morning? They're going to be dead. Guess what's going to happen when they come mow my lawn? They're going to get swept up, and they're going to be thrown out, and they're going to be burned somewhere. You know why? They're weeds. That's what we have to do in our hearts. We can't allow the things to pop up. We can't allow the images. We can't allow the attitudes. Man, how many of you guys are pretty good at developing a bad attitude? I could get it. I don't need any classes on bad attitudes. I'll tell you, if the church said, man, we're to teach a class on bad attitudes, we'd all make straight A's. I would be on the dean's list. I would be verde cum laude or whatever they are. Those guys out front that have got the ropes and that nobody listens to at graduation. But they're not the cool kids, so we're not trying to get ropes around it. We're just, let me tell you, C's get degrees, right? I don't know. You'd throw a party for me. No, but hey, let me just talk to you about the legacy campaign just for a minute. Because we're in a legacy campaign. We're raising $3 million in 2 years. All right? It started, I guess, the week before Easter, 2 weeks before Easter in 2016, and it ends about that time in 2018. It's tricky because we also have our 25th anniversary the first week in December, so in my heart, I've kind of pushed it up a little bit. I'm kind of thinking, we're going to knock this stuff out by then. Man, the mortgage on all our properties are it's not next to nothing, but an organization this size, when I talk to other pastors about eliminating our debt, they're like, Shear, that's not debt. It's something that we could probably take care of by December. But I'll just tell you, this legacy campaign, this capital campaign is a monumental step for our church. And it doesn't sound like that big a deal. And listen, it's not a fundraising deal. It's something that honestly, what we're doing is we're making this a more enticing place for families and for people to come to church. That's all it is. What we've done is we've upgraded the lighting system, and you guys have seen it. We put in the new screen, and we're developing environmental projection in the sanctuary. And I honestly, yesterday morning, I was in. A few of us went on a Harley ride, and we went and had breakfast at a place across the street from the church in Skytook. And you know, God really just put it in my heart. We're going to enlarge that sanctuary in Skytook. We're gonna make it a part of this capital campaign. And I know that we're not changing the rules after the kickoff, but that sanctuary, we're going to double it in size and really put them in a good place to do that. And I know they're cheering right now in Skytook. But the idea of this is we just want to make it the best experience we can make it for people. We're doing the hospitality area, the central lobby here in Tulsa. We paid for the church in Sepulpa in this capital campaign. There's already so much that's happening. And we're about halfway right now with the fundraising. And I haven't mentioned it in months. And I just want you guys to know it's not a fundraising ploy. It's really not. It's an opportunity. Yeah, it blesses the church. It blesses people, but it's going to bless you. An experience that I've had in this is I got to meet with some couples during this, and I was just so appreciative. Man, it's like, why haven't I done this before? You know, and this is the first time we've ever done a campaign like this, a financial campaign in the church. And one of the couples that I met with have become like family to us, the Coggins, Joel and Christy Coggins. We went out to dinner. And it's interesting because Joel said, man, I've already got an amount. And he said, matter of fact, I think we ought to write the check. And I'm like, yes, it's awesome. Man, I've already closed a deal. I'm not a hack at this. And Christy said, no, we're not going to write a check. And I'm like, what's she doing? Who invited her to dinner? She said, because what kind of faith is it going to take for us to write a check for what we already have? I'm like, shoot, she's right. I didn't change my facial expression. I kind of looked at her like puzzled, like, I beseech you to torment me not. But they decided to just pray about it. And honestly, the number that they came up with, literally the next week, Joel landed a job that the money that was made, it was more than enough to pay for that initial pledge. And I see what it's happening in people's lives. There's so many businesses, so many people that's doing it. It's blessing their lives so amazingly. And I'll tell you why. This capital campaign is not about money. This capital campaign is about faith. It's about trust. And honestly, we've already seen the benefits. There's a new air conditioning system in our kids' church. I know that Sean and Megan are very happy about that. Sean and Megan, you guys mind standing back there? Our kids' directors right back there, Sean and Megan Schaefer. But the hospitality areas of the church, there's so much that we're going to do. We're going to put a plaza in outside the west entrance, just a place for people to hang out, a place for community. And really we're going to elevate the sound system in this room. And I think that's huge. That's a great first impression for people coming in. And we're going to build a field house, a sports complex for families, for people. We're going to teach your kids how to hit curveballs. We're going to teach your kids how to run pass routes. We're going to spend time. And it's not so much about just developing athletes, which I love. That's my heart. But it's developing kids, developing families, and a place where you know, that our kids maybe aren't going to be in front of a screen playing a video game or on an iPad or an iPhone and playing at life instead of developing for life. And that's just it. So I want you to be praying about it. I want you to be involved. If you're not involved right now, you've come into the church within the last year, man, there's probably information on the seat back in front of you, but you can ask any leader in the church. But I also want you guys that have been a part of it, man, to know that we're praying for you. You know, this prayer wall, I was on that ride yesterday, and the Lord really put it on my heart that what I'm going to do, I'm going to dedicate every day from now until the September prayer meeting, I'm going to pray for every prayer request that goes on that prayer wall. So anything that's in your heart, anything that's in your life that you're going through, that you're dealing with, the Bible says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And you know what? I'm going to be standing in agreement pertaining God's word. We're going to pray God's word. There's a prayer card that's in the seat back in front of you. Man, if you're going through something, please, we're not designed to go through it alone. Man, in order for you to cast your care upon the Lord, we're not built for care. That's why anxiety and worry and stress are killers, man. They bring disease into our bodies. Why? Because we're not designed to carry them. So the Bible says, cast your anxiety, cast your care upon the Lord, for he cares for you. See, that's what this prayer wall is. Now it's out of your hands, and let's put it in God's hands. Man, let's let God deliver us. Let God help us. You guys with me on that? Man, so anytime that you want to come in here during the week and you want to come up to this and you want to grab one of those prayer requests and read it and then put it back and pray about it, the sanctuary will be open for prayer. Monday through Thursday from 9 to 5, you can come in. There might be people working. There might be things that are going on. You're not going to get in our way. Man, this is your church, and I want you to be able to participate in it. Man, the whole idea of this campaign is it advances our church community. You know, I don't believe that it takes a village to raise a church. A village to raise a child. I just think it's a strong family plugged into a great local church. I think that's what raises a child. And that's what does it. You guys ready to get in the Word? Man, you guys thanking God for His favor in our lives today? It's invaluable in our lives. Go turn your Bibles to Galatians 6. Galatians 6. How many of you guys love the Word? See, some of you guys didn't. You got to make yourself. That's discipline. You know, whom God loves, He disciplines. Who God loves, He chastens. Man, I want the correction of the Lord in my life. Don't you? Man, the correction of the Lord. But Galatians 6, there's two key points. You can write this down or take a picture if it's on the screen. God's called us to be generous. To be generous people, number one. And number two, to do good. Be generous and do good. See, you want to raise great kids? Teach them how to be generous. Teach them how to do good. And how's the best way to teach them? That just show them by how they live their lives. What did James say? Man, you express your faith by what you say. You watch me, I'm going to express it by what I do. And it's important. In Galatians 6, verse 6, let him who's taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. See, this isn't a one-way street in here today. See, there's dialogue that as I talk to you, as you listen, the word comes alive to you, and what happens is God starts speaking to you. Remember, it's in your soul. You come in here and you begin to pay attention. You know what? The rocks and the stones are removed. Man, God hydrates the soil of your heart. Don't be deceived. God's not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he'll also reap. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will reap everlasting life. And in that everlasting life is peace and prosperity. So if we sow to the flesh, which, you know what, usually is fun. The Bible says sin is pleasurable for a season. But then there's seven stages to sin. You're tempted, you're enticed, you dwell, you think about it, you meditate upon it, you act upon it, and then you die. See, so that's what happens when we sow to the flesh. It feeds the sin that's in our life, and sin's fun, sin's pleasurable. But you know what? It produces death. And let us not grow weary while doing good, verse 9. For in due season you'll reap if you don't lose heart. I've underlined that. I've highlighted that. I've committed this verse here to memory. Don't lose heart. Man, lose your keys. Lose a little bit of money. Don't ever lose heart. See, that's what happens. See, divorce just doesn't happen. You lose heart and then you lose your marriage. See, adultery doesn't just happen. It's like, oh, I don't know. I don't know what happened. You act like you're that 16-year-old kid that hopped in the back seat of the car with some guy or girl, and like it was just one time. It's like, no. You know what? You begin to lose heart. You lose vision. See, it doesn't just happen. Life just doesn't happen. Everything has to go through your heart. And what we have to do is we have to remember that we have to be generous. We have to do good. All of that has to flow from our hearts. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all. Listen to this, especially to those who are in the household of faith. In the margin of your Bible, write, this is why we serve in a local church. Why? We want to do good to all. What's the best way to do that? The best way to do that is to start with the local church. Because it impacts so many people right away. Man, you get the ball rolling, you get momentum going, and oh my gosh, it's just, let me tell you what, so many of our altar calls, they're designed to win people to Jesus. How many of you guys love the altar calls in this church? Man, people getting saved, people coming forward, people that are getting their lives right with God. Let me tell you, that's not just for those people, for the people that walk up here, the people that raise their hands. It's for an example for all of us. It's really honestly at the end of the service, it's like, okay, here's what you do when you leave. How do we close all our services? What do we say? As you go, preach. Well, why? Because we want this to be the product that you're leading people to the Lord. You're helping people whose lives aren't right with God. See, that's how this happens. It's a life for life exchange. You're exchanging 5 or 10 minutes of your life, listen, for an eternity for them. Let that sink in for a minute. How dadgum selfish can we be? You know, we're a first world nation. We're not an impoverished nation. We're not a third world nation. And you know what? We deal with first world problems. Let me tell you the big problems of my life. Traffic. The big problems of my life. Speed limits. The big problems of my life. Oh, a delayed flight. Are you kidding me? You're changing out a part on the dashboard of this plane? You're gonna make me late. It's like, no, you stupid idiot. Let them change that part out. You want the plane to fly perfectly, don't you? It's like, yeah. But see, those are first world issues. Think about third world issues where there's no water to drink. There's no food. Think about tyranny. What we're going through as a country, yeah, you know what? We're feeling it. It's devastating to us. But let me tell you what other countries are going through. Honestly, what we're going through is nothing. It really is. Man, you think about in other countries where there's genocide. You think about in other countries, but see, these are first world issues that we deal with. And it's like, wait a second, can I give $10? Can I give 10 minutes to somebody to change their life forever? Heck yeah, man. Man, could I give 45 minutes or an hour every day from now until the first Sunday night in September when we have our corporate prayer meeting to pray for? Yeah, I can. I mean, my goodness, do you know that lives are gonna be changed? Do you understand? People are gonna receive God's healing provision in their bodies just by sitting and listening to this word this morning. See, the dynamics of being here, why this plan your visit is such a big deal to me is because if we could get people in this room, we can help them. And not just help them get over the issue that they're facing right now, that first world issue that they're facing. No, to help them, listen, have an eternity in heaven, to not burn in hell, to not be damned forever. I mean, you think about the ramifications of those simple acts of obedience in our lives. Do good to all, especially in the church. I mean, when we serve in the church, we serve to strengthen people. The mission statement of the leadership of this church is just simply to help everyone get involved in the mission of the church. We want to get you involved. Why? Because let me tell you, there's a gifting, there's a call that's on your life. Let me just tell you, I don't think it's God's plan for you to say, God, I make Jesus Lord of my life. I'm initiating a relationship with you. I'm entering into covenant with you. And instantly, the next step they take to be in the ultimate call that's on their lives. I don't believe that's how it works. I believe how it works is that you learn how to roll over. You learn how to get up on your hands and knees. You learn how to be mobile and crawl. You learn how to reach for a cabinet and try to open it and somebody tell you no, and then you look at them and you're looking and you're reaching and you're waiting for them to say no, and they say no, and you're just kind of looking at them, reaching to that cabinet, because that's what two-year-olds do. And then what happens? You stand up. And what happens? You fall. But you know what's great about you falling is you've got a diaper on. So you got 2 or 3 inches of padding that you fall on. You're like, oh my gosh. And then you see your mom or dad fall and tears are in their eyes. You're like, man, suck it up. I fall all the time. It doesn't even hurt me. It's like you got a big old padded booty too. But see, we begin to walk, and then we begin to run, and then we begin to run as one who wins. As I walked up on the stage in the last song today, I looked over in the little corridor that goes backstage here, and there was an intern back there by himself. Nobody could see him. He's got his hands up, and he's singing at the top of his lungs. And you know what I'm thinking? Man, we're doing something right. If that kid could keep that for the next 30 or 40 years, that kind of attitude and that kind of heart, he'll probably do something great for God. And see, that's what I'm in this for. That's what Pastor Sandy's in this for. For you to fulfill the purpose of God in your life. Just do something great for God in your life. And you know what, man, I'm gonna move on before I mess this whole thing up. Man, what do? We help people win. Look at the screen in Ephesians, the third chapter. I ask you to look at the screen because it's the Amplified version. And you could read along in your New King James or your New American Standard or your Message or whatever else you have. But I would recommend to download like an amplified Bible on your phone, or just to pick one up at a bookstore. But Ephesians 3, verse 16, may God grant you out of the rich treasury of his glory to be, listen to how this reads. It's just, it's incredible. May God grant you out of the rich treasury, everybody say the rich treasury, of his glory to be strengthened and reinforced with mighty power. Circle that, underline that. See, God has empowered us. This isn't a motivational speech. This isn't just me trying to be a communicator. Yeah, that stuff comes into play. This is mighty power. Everybody say mighty power. Mighty power in the inner man by the Holy Spirit himself indwelling your innermost being and personality. Remember in the previous verse, it said, it talked about us not being deceived. If we sow to the flesh, we reap corruption. If we sow to the Spirit, we reap life and peace. May Christ, through your faith, actually dwell, settle down, abide, make his permanent home in your hearts. May you be rooted deep in love and founded securely on love, that you may have the power and be strong to apprehend and grasp with all the saints, God's devoted people, the experience that of that love. See, that we do this together. We're in this together. It's not just about me being better. It's us getting better. See, I'm an individual as a part of a body. You're the body. I'm a part. You're a part of that body. No different than me being a part. You know, you may derive your income from ministry in the church, or you may not. You're still a part. So what do? You share. What do you carry? You carry your load, your share. You do your part. See, that's how you win the world to Jesus. That's how we win Tulsa and Catoosa and Coweta and Claremore and Sperry and Turley. Man, we rode through Sperry and Turley coming back from Skytook yesterday. And I'll tell you what's crazy. My heart aches that there's no life-giving church around there. So we just see everything, no development, no elevation, everything just sinking, that whole area. Man, I drove through a part of it and I thought, man, you could buy this city block for probably $100,000. That's probably the economics, that's probably what it's worth. But you know what? To God, it's precious. I mean, I rode through there thinking, man, you do it to the least of them, you do it unto me. That's how I felt the first time I went to Haiti. Like, we got to do something. You know why I saw it? And can we give an hour a week to Turley? Can we give an hour a week to Sperry? Can we give an hour? See, it's all about that. One day is compressed. Man, the production and the output and what we could do in one day, the world has to, it takes 1,000 days for the world to do it. That you may really come to know practically through experience for yourselves the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience, that you may be filled through all your being. Now listen, unto all the fullness of God, may have the richest measure of the divine presence and become a body, listen, wholly filled and flooded with God himself. Man, think about one day where you're wholly filled and flooded with all of God himself. Shoot. Now to him who by consequence of the action of his power that is at work within us is able to carry out his purpose and do super abundantly, far over and above all that we dare to ask or think. Infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, and dreams. Far above, take a picture of that verse. Far above all that we dare ask or think. Let me tell you, I was a kid in the 60s. Let me tell you how you communicate it. See, now you communicate, instead of saying amen, you guys say bet. No, I'll be pressed. Preached in Cincinnati. I'm like, man, I said something, and I heard this little old lady say amen, but I heard this group of young people, they said, hey, bet. I'm like, yeah, I'll bet. What you got, man? I'll bet. I'll bet all I got. What do you want to bet? You want to bet on something? I got some cash. You want to bet? They're not saying bet. They're saying, hey, I agree with you. They're saying, hey, you're right. But see, now, in the 60s, in the 70s, man, a dare was a big deal. I don't know that people dare anymore. You know, here God is in this verse. Look at it. He's saying, look, I dare you. I dare you to try me out here. I dare you. More than you could ask, think, pray, or imagine, I dare you. What kind of life do you want? What kind of marriage do you want? Sandy, what kind of marriage do you want? God's saying, I dare you. Ask for the best marriage on the planet. And you know what I'll do? I'll whip it. I'll beat it. See, our God's competitive with us. See, we're sons. We just don't act like it. We have access to everything that's God's. See, that's what Jesus did for us. We have authority over everything on the earth. Now we just have to act like it. Now we just have to choose to prevail. We have to choose to be who God's called us to be. I'll tell you, if we would read this word as it were God writing it to us as sons, man, he's just challenging us. Like, what kind of life you want, son? Because I'll give you a better life than you ever imagined you could have. And you know what he's saying here in the Amplified? I dare you. I dare you to lay hold of this. I dare you. That's all it is, a dare. I dare you as your pastor to have people plan their visit. Let's see if our hospitality team could just sweep them off their feet. We'll give them breakfast. I don't care what we've got to do. For our God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above what we could ask or think, and he's daring us to let him prove that in our lives. Above all that we dare. That's a real title of this message. That's what God wants to perform in our life. That's who God is in our life, above all that we can dare. God, I dare you to. I dare. God, I'm going to live like I'm healthy. I'm going to live like I'm healed and whole. Even though the doctors or science says I have this disease, God, I dare you to give me a better life than I can imagine for myself. Man, remember when you were a kid? What'd you dream of? Man, you dreamt of being an astronaut or a pro athlete or a doctor. Let me tell you, it's God's will that it's in somebody to cure cancer. Why not you? God's saying, I dare you. That's why Oral built the City of Faith. That's why I could buy into the City of Faith. Most people laughed at him for building that. South Tulsa doesn't need a hospital that big, doesn't need a hospital like that. But you know what God spoke to Oral? Faith and medicine could come together and cancer could be healed there. Shoot. And you know what? All of us want to say, not me. Not me. Really, Nathaniel, stand up, Nathaniel. Nathaniel headed up a team Friday that gave groceries to over 1,000 families, haircuts to hundreds of kids, toys, backpacks, school supplies. My goodness, he hadn't scratched the surface yet. You know what God's saying? God's saying, I dare you. I dare you to live this life. God, I just thank you for this time we have together. God, thank you for your word. God, I thank you that you put a hunger in every person in this place. God, for your word, especially these two passages. We go back through them this week. God, we put you first in our lives. God, I thank you that as we put you first, God, I thank you that everything we put our hand to prospers just because we're putting you first. God, that you don't withhold any good thing from us who just put you first. God, we choose to do that today. God, I thank you for a super abundance of faith, of healing, of joy, of love, of forgiveness, of hope to come into people's lives as they put prayer requests on that wall. God, I thank you for changed lives in this place.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Guts Church, visit our website at gutschurch.com.